from the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's 10 Talk.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, I am going to be talking to Mark Graney about his new book. Oh, it is so good. It's called Sierra 6. Every time I talk to him, I say, this is the best book, but he gets better and better, and that will be at the bottom of the hour, and I'm looking forward to talking to him about that book, because in this book, there are two particular chapters that are just so good that they really should be used in a writing class, because they are examples of how you can build tension. How he does it, I'm not sure. I want to ask him how long it took him to write those chapters, because that is absolutely fine writing. So I'm going to be talking to him about that. But first, I want to mention a couple of things. You know, I have been very happy to receive emails from all of you. Lately, I've, you know, I mentioned that the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper is coming up on March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, because I started March 17th. 2015, can you believe it? 2015, it was St. Patrick's Day, because St. Patrick's Day is on the 17th. And that was a very lucky day for me. And I, for many reasons. One, I love St. Patrick's Day because my mother had this wonderful ability to always find four-leaf clovers. And she used to drive my father crazy. And I still keep a four-leaf clover. I carry a four-leaf clover with me. So it just was so serendipitous that when I started Joy on Paper, it was St. Patrick's Day. And not only that, I happened to have, at that time, I had, I still have a beautiful green jacket, and I had green high heels. I used to have a lot of high heels. I don't have all of them anymore. I'm not crazy because I did have a little injury when from my kickboxing time. And so I'm not wearing those spiky heels that I used to wear. So I actually gave a lot away, including my green ones. And I now realize I shouldn't have given them away because they were historical. They were the first day of the program. I wonder if I can get them back from her. I happen to know who I gave them to. Darn it. Maybe she's listening. Jen, if you have my heels still, give them back to me. I didn't know I would be doing this still 7 years later. So, you know, I sort of like, Dorothy and those wonderful ruby slippers. So I need Jen to give me back my beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful emerald green spike heels. And they are very high. So maybe she will give them back. Anyway, it was fun to start on St. Patrick's Day. It's a wonderful day to remember. And as I was saying, my mother, because my mother could find a four-leaf clover, where she could sit down. We used to go on picnics, and my father would always talk about the time that, actually my mother talked about it because my father was a little embarrassed, after the war, he was in his uniform, actually, and a bunch of the kids, they weren't kids, but they were vets. They went on a picnic, and they sat down, on blankets, and they were having a picnic. And all the guys were in their uniforms, and the girls were, my mother remembered exactly what she was wearing, a polka dot dress. And she sat down, and the minute she sat down, she just sort of turned her head and reached over and picked up a four-leaf clover. Now, there aren't, I don't know what the odds are, but the odds are not good to find a four-leaf clover, especially when you just sit down and you sort of just look over. And this got my father so crazy because she had done it before and he couldn't believe that she could do that. So he started picking up every grain of every, all, you know, the clover, every leaf, every piece of grass, and just piled them up until he had a whole big, like, square foot of just earth. And in all of that, he didn't find a four-leaf clover. He couldn't believe it. And she did that many times. Many times we'd go on a picnic. And as a matter of fact, that reminds me of what I want to just talk about. We'd go on picnics, and she would always find four-leaf clovers. So that's a memory of my mother. And in fact, you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, so I hope that all of you had just a wonderful Valentine's Day. And for me, it was a very emotional day. I actually spent a lot of the time crying because it brought back a lot of memories, first of my mother and father, particularly my father, because my father was a Teamster. And, you know, now nowadays with all this thing about truckers, it was an absolutely wonderful, wonderful person. And I know that he would be all for what the truckers are doing today. And he used to take me because, you know, I started reading at the age of three. Beatrix Potter also started reading at the age of three. And I was, by the time I was five, I was already reading my mother's paperback mysteries. And Webster's Dictionary, going through it word by word. So, of course, I didn't exactly fit in school. And when we moved from up north in Michigan, and we went to the city, when we got there, I was supposed to be in second grade, and I skipped second grade because it was really silly. But my father used to take me to Teamsters meetings. And Jimmy Hoffa was, of course, the president of the Teamsters at the time. And whenever he would see me, he would call out. He'd say, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. If you don't give me a hug, I'm going to holler. And then he'd say, Pat Z, with a Z sound. And so when I started school in the third grade, I insisted that my name was Pat Z with a Z. Of course, the teacher, and my third grade teacher, I think I mentioned her before, was not very nice. And so I don't know. It was. She was a terrible, terrible woman. She didn't like that. She didn't like me. She's the one who made me sit on my left hand because she didn't like left-handed people. And but Jimmy Hoffa was just wonderful to me. All my childhood, he was wonderful to me. He would give me 50-cent pieces or silver dollars. And I have still quite a collection of half dollars and silver dollars that he gave me. And then he also would sometimes, for special occasions, like Valentine's Day, he would give me $18. Now, this is a wonderful thing. Jimmy Hoffa was born on Valentine's Day. Most people don't know that. And he was so sweet to me and to my family. And I saw many times when, you know, people have this impression of him as being somehow a New Jersey gangster. And he was not. He was a typical Midwestern guy, very humble. And he would give me money on Valentine's Day, and he would give me money at different holidays. And my mother, one year, made him a big cake. They had a dance at the Teamsters Hall, and she made Jimmy Hoffa a big Valentine's Day cake. And and it's funny, I would, you know, all these years later, to know that the strawberries for that cake, for Jimmy Hoffa's Valentine's Day cake, came from Plant City. I remember my father was talking about it because one of the truckers who came up from Plant City came to our house, actually, and he brought my mother several boxes, you know, a crate full of strawberries, and my mother used those to make Jimmy Hoffa's cake. And I remember it very well. It was absolutely beautiful. My mother was a great cook, and it was a big, big sheet cake that she made, I think a double sheet cake. And that was for Jimmy Hoffa's birthday because he was a sweetheart, at least to me. And which reminded me about this picnic business, because everybody says they think they know where his body is. I will tell you, if the people who killed him actually knew him, I don't think they would have done whatever they've said. I hope that he's under this beautiful oak tree where we used to have Teamsters picnics, because I like to think of him being there. That would be the ideal place that they should have put him. Because I don't think, I actually don't think that those people hated him. He did a lot for the Teamsters. He did a lot for workers, because he was a person who, you know, with all of the stuff that's talked about, he didn't believe in discrimination. He wanted all people, all drivers, to get good salaries, and he didn't care what color they were. He fought for everybody. So there's a lot of good things about Jimmy Hoffa, and I remember much of it. But I also remember somebody else who was born yesterday on Valentine's Day, and I particularly, this is a man that I really grew to love and cherish, because he was so good to me. And again, another wonderful sweetheart of a man. And that's Colonel Leo Thorsness. Colonel Thorsness, I one time said to him, you won the Medal of Honor. And he said, oh, I didn't win it. I received it. I said, but, well, then you won my heart. And so I just loved him because I was working on a project called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. I was doing a great deal of research. And when I was doing this research, this is a very, very heartbreaking story. This was an operation in Vietnam called Operation Rolling Thunder. And F-105 pilots were sent on missions to bomb North Vietnam. Unfortunately, they were sent on the same route, the same time, the same place, time after time after time. And they were shot down in such horrible numbers that still, if you look back on it, and we're talking about military intelligence, that's why I often say that I really should have been a general, because I would never have sent pilots out on the same route at the same time over the same place day after day, because they would be shot down. And Colonel Thorsness was shot down, and he spent six years in what was, well, we don't call it now. I don't know what we call it. It was the Hanoi Hilton. That's what he called it. And that's what he talked about to me in many conversations. So I was working on this project, and he was one of my big resources. And you can see this on the internet. It's called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. And I have a little movie there that I wrote, and with my producer, we produced a short movie about the F-105 plane and the pilots. And we had hoped at one point to get a deal with one of the major stations that covers military history. Unfortunately, you know, we've gone through, this is what happens in Hollywood so often. You go into turnaround. And I had hoped that we would get this project up and running before so many of them passed away, because I worked very hard on the project, very diligently, because so many of both the pilots and, of course, the ground crew were sick. especially the ground crew, because in those days they didn't wear masks, they didn't have any protection, and so many of them got terrible emphysema. And so I did so many interviews with these men. Often, especially with the ground crews, I did some of the interviews at 3 and 4 in the morning because they couldn't sleep. They couldn't stop dreaming about what they went through. And for the pilots, so many of them were shot down. So many of them became prisoners. So if you want, you can go to the website Forgotten F-105 Warriors and see that. But right now I'd like to play for them, for all of those men who I love so much, and particularly for Colonel Leo Thorsness, who was a sweetheart born on Valentine's Day. I want to play this song because it is a song that it's on my playlist. I listen to it every morning. So here it is.
I'm a THUD pilot. I love my plane. It is my body. I am its brain. My Thunder Chief loves me, and I love her too. But I get the creeps with only one seat and one engine too. She's faster than lightning, it says on her dials. To get a THUD airborne takes only 2 miles. She's packed with transistors, black boxes, diodes. But stay alert, 'cause you might get hurt when she explodes. She totes more bombs than a B-17. My F-105 has a gun and she's mean. But there is one thing that curdles my blood. It's lonesome up there alone in the air in my single seat THUD. I love my THUD, and she loves me too. But she soaks up flak like a magnet can do. If I get my 100 and I'm still alive, I'll have no grief. Goodbye, Thunder Chief, my F-105.
Makes me cry to think of him, and I miss him so much. We're going to take a commercial break, and then when I come back, I'll talk a little bit more about the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper and get ready to talk to Mark Graney about his new book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I am just waiting for a call in from Mark Graney, and we're going to be talking about his great new book. But first, I want to talk again about the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper. It's really exciting for me because it's pretty amazing. The years have gone by very quickly. A lot of things have happened, but the most wonderful thing is that I have been able to talk to so many, many wonderful not just authors, because I've, you know, it's great for me to talk to the global best-selling authors. I'm so happy always when I can talk to indie authors, people who are just starting off. So I get all of that excitement, and I get all these free books. As a matter of fact, when I started Joy on Paper, one of the things my husband said to me, well, gee, now you won't have to buy any books, because I was always buying books, and generally speaking, hardback books. I did have, at one point, I had 2,000 paperback books, and that's before we moved to Florida. I had 6,000 books, over 6,000 books, and what I did is, when we decided to move to Florida, my husband, he knew better. He would never question me about books because I must say, when I started collecting books, of course, he didn't understand what I was doing or why I was reading so much. But but he got into the spirit of things, would always stop at any time he saw a bookstore and let me run in, and he knew I'd buy a book. But when we moved, I had over 6,000 books. And so I took 2,000 of them, and the paperback books. He was very proud of that I was getting rid of 2,000 books, I think. He didn't say it, but I think it was a daunting task, let's say, to pack up all those books, and we actually needed a trailer just for the books. And I gave them to charity, and I think they were selling them like for a dollar. I think they sold them mostly for a dollar. And they made lots of money. So that was very nice. And if my husband thought I was not going to replace them with hardback books, he had a surprise, because I probably replaced many of them with hardback books. But, you know, we were here, and I figured we're not going to move again. So that's what I did. Anyway, as I said, I have a lot of books, and I still have a lot of books, and I get a lot of books. And I was hoping by this point, when I sort of had a game plan, that I would be able to expand the program to 5 days a week. I would love to expand the program to 5 days a week. I'm doing Tuesdays and Thursdays. I could easily, believe me, I have enough books. Just now I walked in the studio, I had two books. The other day I walked in, I had, five books. I get also at home, some of the people have send me books to the house. So I get somewhere around 10 or 15 books a week. And of course I go through them. And this is where it is important. One, I wish I could talk to everybody. You know, I basically talk to maybe four authors a week. I could easily do 5 days a week. So if anybody knows somebody who would like to sponsor Joy on Paper for 5 days a week, I would just, you know, let them contact me, because it would be fun and I could just help more authors. And that's what I've been doing here, and that's what I hope to continue to do, perhaps on a larger scale. So if you know any major corporations, companies who want to not just sponsor Joy on Paper because of the interviews I do, but also to promote reading, because reading is so important. It is, you know, when we're looking at the situation today with children, you know, in Baltimore, they are graduating kids who cannot read. Something like 30% of them are graduating from high school, and they can read only at a third grade level. This is ridiculous, and it's unforgivable. And we have to get more books to more people and encourage them to read. And kids learn about reading if their parents read. So I want to do more things to help, you know, give books to people who need to learn how to read, need encouragement to read. And one of the things is I'm going to have back on the program in March, Rhonda Green. She is a fantastic woman who just decided, well, she decided to write a book, and she sent it to me, 92-page book, a beautiful book, and I am so proud of her and so proud that she is reading. So that's what I'm looking for. That's what I would like to do. Because, you know, for me, reading is, well, it's taken over my life for a long time. And this is particularly fun for me because I get to talk to Mark Graney about his new book, Sierra 6. Hi, Mark. Are you there? Is Mark there? I don't know. Do you hear him? Anybody hear him? Well, we had Mark. I hope he is. What happened, Big Ed?
I don't know, Patsy. I think his phone dropped off. We're going to get him back, though. Hang on.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get him back because I need to talk to this guy. This is an amazing book. Well, for those of you who don't know, he has written a wonderful series called The Gray Man Series. And this is book 11 in this series. And there he is. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. Well, I'm so happy that you are on because I've been talking about this wonderful new book. I tell you, it is so good. I think I told you last time that that book was the best. And now I have to correct myself because I think this book is the best. I love this book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really happy to hear that.
Well, for so many reasons. And one of them, I'll tell you, I got the chills when I read chapter 13. Now, when a particular chapter gives you the sort of a chill and a thrill, it is fantastic. And that is the one where Priyanka Bhandari is, let's just say, the beginning of her ordeal. You know which one I mean. And there she is. she wakes up and she had no idea how long she had been sleeping. And then you take that chapter and you make it so exciting. And as I read the chapter, I was so so nervous, and I felt it so, you know, it was such a strong chapter. I kept saying, oh, it was sort of holding my breath because I love that chapter. And you have this wonderful ability to take a reader into a scene and make us feel like we are living that scene.
Well, thank you. I worked pretty hard to do that, and you know, I love novels where you really feel like you're transported to that location. So I'm very empathetic in trying to, for the reader's experience, to immerse them in whatever's going on.
Well, the Gray Man series, this is book 11. And, of course, the main character is Court Gentry. And this one is told in a sort of dual point of view, present day, and a flashback to 12 years ago. And I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, I initially just wanted to kind of tell a quick flashback that would relate to something in the present. But as I got deeper and deeper into the story, I realized I had two complete plots and two complete novels. So it's a big book. It's probably 500-something pages, and it's essentially two 250-page novels that are interwoven into one.
Exactly. It is. I mean, they could be separated and stand alone, but this way that you've done it, it's so perfect. And we go from the present day, where we're in the scene where we're holding our breath, and then you do something just marvelous. You take us back, because let's explain a little bit about Court. You know, Court is just, he is a wonderful character. When you came out with him from day one, I think everybody just related to him and cared about him, and that's important. But when you take us back to the beginning, and I love that scene, I just have to ask that shoot house scene. That is so perfect. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you a long time to write it, or did it just flow like that? Because it is one of those chapters that they should study, you know, in writing classes in college.
Well, thank you. I have spent a lot of time in shoot houses myself, doing training or playing the opposition force. So I'm one of the bad guys, and a SWAT team will come in to try and shoot me and whatnot. I've done that a good little bit. So I had a really good basis of what shoot houses were all about. And I knew what my objective in the chapter was, which was to show my hero as very talented, but also vulnerable in some ways. And so it all came from there. And I think, parts of this book were really slow to write, but I feel like that went by pretty quickly.
Well, it is perfect. I've read it a couple of times because I just wanted to see the pacing. You know, when you're writing, and you really have to be aware of the pacing of a book and the pacing of a chapter, the pacing even of a few sentences. And in this particular section, I was like in awe of your writing.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's pacing in the book is super important. You don't ever want it to drag, but then you also don't want it to be so frantic people can't even, you know, orient themselves to what's going on. So it's always this little dance to get the action in there, interspersed with the backstory and keeping it fun.
Well, you do. And the backstory that you've built here, the whole storyline, the 12 years ago, the beginning of how it all happened. And explain a little bit about why it's named, you know, what it means, what this entire, Sierra 6 means. This is his name in this story.
Yes. So he joins 12 years ago in the past. He's 25 years old, and he joins a CIA paramilitary unit called Golf Sierra. And so the members of the team are Sierra 1, who is the team leader, and Court's the junior member. He's Sierra 6, and he's replacing another Sierra 6 who was killed, and he's slowly integrated into this team of people that really don't even want him there. So he is Sierra 6 in this novel.
Well, it is, you know, as I'm reading it, I kept thinking, gee, I hope there are people like this, because they make you feel confident that there's somebody out there who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, there absolutely are people like this. Ground Branch, the CIA paramilitary unit, is real. And, you know, we have Delta Force and SEAL Team 6, and we have these really, really incredibly elite paramilitaries, the best in the world, whose job it is to protect America. So, you know, I know some of these people, and it's important to me to kind of render them on the page realistically and really show their valor.
Well, you certainly do that. And as I said, it is such a thrilling read. And you're right. You literally get bang for your buck with this book. You get enough bang in there.
Yeah. As I said, it's two books in one, which no one, you know, I don't get paid more for writing longer books. I just like to write, you know, really fleshed out stories. So it's just there's a time while I'm writing it, I'm going like, why do I make my book so long? But when
Well, readers don't mind. I assure you, readers don't mind. I just, you know, it was so much fun to read it, and so much fun even just to look back on it.
Well, that's great. I love hearing that, and there's more Gray Man novels in the works, so I'm just trying to keep the series going.
Well, you're doing a terrific job. You know, I know that you're on a heck of a schedule, so I can't keep you long today. I could keep you for an hour. My listeners certainly would love it, because I think when somebody is writing at the level that you're writing, you are inspiring.
Well, I love hearing that, because I was struggling to become published for upwards of 20 years before I was actually published. So I like to think that I could be inspiring for somebody out there that would love to be able to do that, because I'm not special. I didn't know anybody that was a published author before I became published. You really just, if you get the words right on the page, then
and you get the characters right, they become part of you. And
I was just going to say, I've been, you know, with these characters for 12 years, so they do feel like part of me now.
And right across the board, they're all great, and I particularly like, of course, I love the setting about, you know, India and Pakistan, and it's different from so many other books. So that, I think also that lent itself very well to this storyline.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was fun to write about a place that I hadn't written about before. It gets harder and harder the more books you turn out to come up with new interesting locations, but I enjoyed this one.
And certainly Priyanka Bhandari, you got her right. She is great.
Thank you. Yeah, she's a character that has her own vulnerabilities her own personal reasons for the story, just as Court does. So the two of them kind of team up to go after their objective.
And of course, again, I want to say chapter 13, everybody, when you get this book, and you should get this book because it's a fun read and a wonderful, wonderful storyline. And Mark, you are a fantastic author. But chapter 13, I think everyone will read that one, and they will get... Something about it is chilling. The way that you write it, it's just fantastic. So I'm very, very happy that, you know, you were able to join me even for a little while today, because I was told I have to let you go because you are in demand today. But I actually hope you'd come back one day and speak to my listeners longer, because they would love that. Is inspiring also what you said about being 20 years, you know, waiting to get to where you are. So it's fantastic. And I knew the minute I read the first book that you were going to be a winner, and I was right, because I usually am when I come to a great book. So again, I have to let you go, right? They want you?
I guess so. I go where I'm told.
Yeah, you go where you. I know they told me. Anyway, you have a wonderful day. I will keep talking to my listeners about this book, because I think it's a wonderful example of great writing. And a wonderful storyline, really, and very relevant to today. So, again, thank you, Mark Graney, for being on Joy on Paper. And I suppose you have a website, Mark Graney?
MarkGraneyBooks.com.
That's it, and they can find it anywhere. And I was just listening again. Well, I've been listening to a couple of the Audible books of your past books. The Audible versions are fantastic too. So everybody, get this book. And again, Mark, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you, Patsy. Enjoyed it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. I was told I couldn't keep him today because he has a it's just that he has some other interviews to do today. I think he's going to be doing a little bit of some video. And so he was on a deadline. But I'm going to have him back because, as I said, when you get a chapter or two chapters in a book, you know, that are just so perfect, and you go back and you read them a couple of times, and you think, wow, how did this author do it? And that's part of the fun of reading a lot of books and learning a lot about writing. And, you know, on Thursday, I'm going to have Eugenia Lovett West on because she is going to be celebrating her 99th birthday. Isn't that amazing? And last year, she wrote a book about cybercrime. So if you can be 99 and write a book about cybercrime, and she had to do lots of research. She didn't know anything about cybercrime. So she had the fun of doing the research first, then writing a wonderful, wonderful thriller. And she's going to be on Joy on Paper on Thursday so we can celebrate her birthday. But right now, I'd like to play a book buzz that Devon Miller did. It was done. This is what we do here. We play these book buzzes over and over until you sort of finally get it in your head. That's a book that you want to read. So let's play the Devon Miller, and then we'll come back and talk. Number 12. I want to do number 12, which was, I think, done in December. And
hey, everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety-Tock-Lock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. The holidays are coming up, and that means you might hear some Christmas carolers outside your window. Maybe you might even hear Kevin from the book Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, because Kevin is a great singer. Before Kevin had the courage to sing for a big crowd, it took him a while to conquer his fear. Written by Kevin B. Edwards and illustrated by George Franco, Kevin Turns Fear into Feet tells the story of Kevin, who's a bit scared to sing in a school program because his teacher asked him to. With a story similar to the character of Kevin in the book, the author was inspired to write the book after a teacher brought a third grade student to him who sings. The author's first impression was that she lacked confidence and self-esteem. Due to the author meeting the student, he wrote the book to honor her. Overcoming his own fear, Kevin B. Edwards is now an international gospel singer. This book serves as a great help for kids to overcome their fears and insecurities. When reading Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, I think kids will turn their own fears into feet. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's book buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Well, you know, I actually made a mistake. I wanted number 11, so we're going to play number 11 also because, again, we're talking here about children's books. Kevin Edwards, Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, is a wonderful, wonderful book, and I want to also play another one. This is for a different book because I want you all to think about going ahead and ordering these books and sending them to one of the children's hospitals. Because of COVID, they are not allowed to share books in the hospitals like they used to. So all the children's hospitals are short of books, and they really, really could use your donations. So all you have to do, you can go to my webpage, radio-joy on paper, and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes, and he has 12 books there that he reviewed in 2021. Pick one of those books, pick all of those books, and send it to either your local children's hospital or to St. Jude's or Shriners because they are desperate for books. So we're going to play also number 11 because I love this book, and Cindy Bell sent me Valentine's Day, a book for Valentine's Day, so I want to play this one for her.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety-Tock-Lock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. November is here, and it's known as a time to give thanks for all that we have. And in the story of I Love You, Fiorello, Flaws and All, the main characters were thankful and happy for the life they had, but one day, the life they knew had changed. Written by Cindy A. Bell and illustrated by Emily House, I Love You, Fiorella, Flaws and All tells the story of Fiorella and Mama Rose, who get left at an animal shelter. Because their owner left them, it makes Fiorella wonder if she did anything wrong for them to get left at the animal shelter. Inspired by Lucy, who's a very special dog within the author's life, the story explores themes that children can experience, such as rejection and unacceptance, but it also showcases one's unconditional love. The author, Cindy A. Bell, who's also a children's book enthusiast, believes that books can invite meaningful conversations about big feelings that children may encounter. Just like how Mama Rose loves Fiorella, I think readers will love Fiorella after reading this adorable and charming story. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
And I want to thank Cindy A. Bell for sending me an autographed copy of Fiorello. Fiorella is a delightful book, and I hope that you will check out my website and order one of these books or both of these books and send them to a children's hospital and also to all the children in your life, because it is so important to have kids read at a young age and to keep them always, always involved. And by the way, one of the best ways to do that is to go to Nat Geo Kids, because Nat Geo Kids' website is fantastic. And if you go there, there are lots of books for the children, but there are also so many activities that they can take part in and videos that they can watch. Again, always to encourage children to read. Now, I wanted to mention, because I was thinking about Valentine's Day, which was very emotional for me and emotional for many people. But I did want to talk about the two men who it's funny, I knew two men born on Valentine's Day. I was going to do more about an author who's very important to me, Carol J. Perry. I don't have time today to go into the details about her, but one of the things I wanted, people have asked me, why do you always mention Carol J. Perry? And one of the reasons is that because she was my first guest 7 years ago. She was the first guest in the studio. And it is very funny to look back. Most of you don't realize that I was very shy when I started the program, very, very shy. And I did, although I was very active in clubs and other organizations, I always took the back seat. I always was, you know, the one who was doing the work and never took the front of the stage. But so when I started the program, I was very shy. And I remember the day that Carol J. Perry came to the studio, I was really nervous. I was nervous because she is a published author. And although, you know, I read 10,000 books, I had not met very many authors in my life. So I was really in awe of her. And I was afraid of her. So funny. I look back on it now and I think, oh, I was so afraid of her. But it was wonderful, wonderful that she came to the studio. And of course, we started there talking about Witch City Mysteries, and she was at book one. And now, 7 years later, in April, she's going to have book 12 of her series. This is so remarkable. When you think about it, she is an inspiration. You know, she also got to this point later in life, and this is what is so amazing about writing. You find this joy on paper. You find the characters. And she found the characters. You know, she was born on Halloween Eve. And so it was just sort of natural, something in her, to write this series based all in Salem, Massachusetts, where she was born. And it just came to her. The name of the character, the characters, Lee Barrett, Aunt Ibby, Pete Mundello, and there's going to be a wedding in Book 12. We've been waiting for that wedding for a long time, 7 years. But that's why it is so exciting always for me to talk to authors, and I am always inspired when an author finds a character, just like Mark Graney did. When he came out with Court Gentry, you know, there was something within him. He was Court Gentry inside, I guess, and it's just come out, and over the years, he's written 11 books. Now, Carol is on number 12. Well, number 12 is going to be released April 26th. You can pre-order it, and that's a wonderful thing to do for an author. If you ever know an author, if you ever enjoy a series, always go and pre-order it. It really makes a difference. I will tell you that Mary Higgins Clark told me the last time I spoke to her that she would get pre-orders, like a million pre-orders. So you can imagine how happy her publisher was. And it's a wonderful thing you can do. So pre-order Carol J. Perry's new book, Till Death of the Witch City Mysteries. And she has other books there in the whole series. And you can start anywhere. But you can start with Book 12 and go back. And I'm sure once you learn, you know, about her characters, you get involved in the books, you'll want to read all of them. And that's the wonderful thing about doing a series, because once you get readers hooked on a series, they do go back and start at the beginning. Anybody who reads, I tell you right now, if you read Mark Graney's Sierra 6, this book, if you read this, you will want to go back to the beginning and read all of them, because his writing is so very, very fine. And that's the whole game here. And I just love that you send me emails and tell me about your progress if you're writing, and also your thoughts on characters. I love to hear when you like a character, like I heard from so many of you about Reacher, now that the series has come out streaming. And, of course, Lee Child was here for his birthday interview, and we talked about it. So I love to hear your comments about the new Reacher series. I like it. Anyway, remember, you know, as I said, I'm just very, very grateful and to all of you. And my email is patsy.radio@gmail.com. So send me an email about what you're doing, about the writers that you like, any writer that you want me to invite to Joy on Paper, because I will be happy to do so. And then meanwhile, you know, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. And it could be for her Witch City mystery series or her new Haunted Haven mystery series, which is set right here in Florida. And I love that. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. Thank you for everything. And he saluted me, and I saluted him. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.